I invite you to open your Bible to Genesis chapter 41. Genesis 41. We left Joseph in prison. Last time we looked at the life of Joseph. And if you were Joseph, I'm sure that you would feel pretty disappointed just because you were in prison, but also because of what happened in Genesis chapter 40. Joseph, it seemed like, had a way out. You remember the butler and the baker of the king, Pharaoh, were there in the prison with Joseph, and they had a dream. Each of them did. And Joseph, by the grace of God, was able to interpret those dreams, and they came true. The butler was restored to his position, and the baker was taken out of prison, and he was beheaded. He was killed, and that both of those were predicted by Joseph. But Joseph had given the butler a request, and that is to remember me. Remember that I'm here. Do something about it when you get back. And we saw at the end of chapter 40 that didn't happen. The butler forgot. And Joseph is still there in prison. The title of the message I took actually from Genesis 41. I had the same title actually for both chapters. Originally, I was going to deal with both of them at the same time, but I decided against that. And so the title of this message and the last one was God Shall Give an Answer. And that's taken from what Joseph says to Pharaoh when he's taken out of prison. Joseph's conviction before God is that God shall give an answer. It represents Joseph's confidence in God. Joseph is, as we'll see, taken out of prison, and he has the opportunity to interpret a dream for Pharaoh. But we see that his confidence, his conviction, is in what the Lord can do. God shall give an answer. It's not in anything that Joseph can do. And we see what that does to Joseph. We saw it produced, while he was in the prison with the butler and the baker, it produced somebody who was a trustworthy prisoner, a faithful prisoner, a caring prisoner, a patient prisoner. And even as Joseph is taken out of prison in chapter 40, we see that that conviction makes him a spiritual man. It makes him a spiritual man. And so I'm going to read a portion of this chapter. This is a long chapter. It's 57 verses. And so I won't read all of it, but I want us to consider the first section at least. So I'm going to begin reading here in Genesis 41, verse 1. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed. And behold, he stood by the river, and behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine and fat-fleshed. And they fed in a meadow. And behold, 7 other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favored and lean-fleshed kine did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat kine. So Pharaoh awoke. And he slept and dreamed the second time. And behold, 7 ears of corn came up on one stalk, rank and good. And behold, 7 thin ears and blasted with the east wind sprung up after them. And the 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. And he sent and called for the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream. But there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants and put me in ward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream in one night, I and he. We dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was there with us a young man, a Hebrew, servant to the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams, to each man according to his dream he did interpret. And it came to pass as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored into my office, and him he hanged. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. And he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, It is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. I want to point out three spiritual qualities that God obviously has developed in Joseph's life. And the first quality that we see here is the quality of spiritual humility. Spiritual humility. We see that that begins with a recognition of God and His plan. Over and over again in this chapter, we see the truth emphasized to us that God has a plan. We see that He controls the minds of men. We see that later on in the chapter, God was the one who sent this dream to Pharaoh. And say, well, this is kind of an odd dream that God sends to Pharaoh. I mean, it almost seems kind of crazy. Cows in the river, and coming up out of the river. And but, you know, it was unusual. But commentators have pointed out that actually, it was probably not too unusual that cows would have been in the river. You know, the Egyptian culture centered around the Nile, and even cows taking time to cool off in the river. And so seeing cows come up out of the river, not too unusual. Maybe if you would have had a dream and you saw seven cars driving down the street and they turned into your driveway. And that's not too unusual. But this is Pharaoh. He's king of Egypt, and you know this is his culture, the river, the Nile. But the dream comes from God. God controls the minds of men. And then we see, all of a sudden, the butler remembers Joseph right when Pharaoh has this dream. How did that happen? God. God controls the minds of men. God causes the butler to remember Joseph and this experience that he had when he was in prison. God controls the minds of men. God also reveals the problems of men. We read in verse 8 about the magicians that were called, and they are not able to interpret this dream. And then Joseph is sent for, and Joseph is able to. we also see God's plan in that God changes the circumstances of men. In one day, everything changed for Joseph. Here he was in the prison. He had been there for several years. We learn at the beginning of the chapter, it had been 2 years now since the butler and the baker had left the prison. And all of a sudden, one day, everything changed. One day. Joseph's pulled out of prison and pulled before the king. And how does that happen? God does that. God can change the circumstances of men in one day. It's totally different. And so as we think about these truths, we need to see the importance of being humble before God. I was reminded even this week. I got a phone call on Thursday. Sorry, the speaker can't come. Okay, all right. Well, I got to do something different then. Why was that? Well, God has a plan. And many times it's not the plan that is our plan. It's another plan. But God still does have a plan. And what we need to do is humble ourselves before God in our plans, in what we think we're going to do. We need to humble ourselves in what we think will never happen. God could still be able to do in one day, change everything. And so we see the importance of humility before the plan of God. And Joseph is a man who obviously realizes that, but I want you to notice the response that Joseph has to Pharaoh. We see the importance of humility even before other people, in the presence of God before other people. notice verse 15 again. Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst interpret a dream to interpret it. How would you have responded if you got pulled out of prison and Pharaoh told you about this opportunity. Joseph could have used it to his own advantage, and perhaps, we wouldn't blame him. He could have said, okay, well, I might be able to help you out, but hey, I'm a prisoner. Can you do something about that? I've been in this prison forever, and yes, I'll help you out, but why don't you pull me out of prison? But Joseph doesn't do that. Joseph doesn't seek to change the situation and direct things to his own advantage, maybe like his father would have done, Jacob. I can picture Jacob doing something like that, the deceiver, throughout his life trying to work things out for his own advantage. But Joseph doesn't do that, at least in this situation. He's very humble. And notice the response that he has here. Verse 16, "It is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace." That is humility. That's humility. That's giving God the credit. And how was Joseph able to do that? He had a conviction about God. He had confidence in God. And God produces in him this quality, spiritual humility. He refuses to give himself the credit. He's giving God the credit for that. So that's the first quality we see here. And then I want to point out a second quality that God produces in Joseph here. As Joseph hears the dream again, and that's what goes on here in verse 17 down through verse 24, Pharaoh repeats the dream to him. And then we see what Joseph says in response. The dream of Pharaoh is one, verse 25. God hath showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. And then he interprets this dream. God helps him interpret it. And we see that the interpretation of the dream is God has revealed to Pharaoh what's going to happen in the next 7 years. There's going to be a certain amount of years of plenty. And there's going to be a certain amount of years, 7 years of famine. And this is what the dream means. And then Joseph gives some advice about that down in verse 33. "Now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. And let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land, take the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seventh plenteous years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that come, and lay the corn up under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep the food in the cities." So what do we see here? I think we see the quality of spiritual wisdom that Joseph displays here. Not only spiritual humility, but spiritual wisdom. And we see that in two different ways. Spiritual wisdom in the Bible is, first of all, derived from the Word of God. It's revealed by God. And I think we see that even here with the interpretation of Pharaoh's dream and what God has done. What's happening here? God is revealing something to this king of Egypt. and God does that. That's how we have the Word of God. He has revealed to us His Word. And what He was doing to Pharaoh, He was revealing to him what His will was. And I guess kind of a side note there, we see the responsibility that God places over leaders of human government to rule and care for the needs of their country. I think sometimes maybe I'm just speaking of the way I think sometimes, but sometimes I think that the political realm and the God's realm are just two separate things, and we need to recognize that, but that's not how God tells us here in this chapter. God has a purpose for the nation of Egypt. And how does He want this king to carry out His rule? Well, God's revealing to this king something about how He wants him to rule and how He wants him to take care of His people in His country. And that's revealed to him. And we could apply that in other situations as well, where God has given us specific revelations, specific wisdom from the Bible of how we ought to act, how political leaders ought to act and how they should care for their people. God was doing that with Pharaoh. So we see the revealed wisdom that God gives to Pharaoh. But then we also see the practical spiritual wisdom that God gives to Joseph. And God gives both of those things. Joseph makes a suggestion to Pharaoh. He doesn't involve himself in it at all. He just says, verse 33, "Let Pharaoh look out a man, discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt." So Joseph is giving some advice, some planning advice, how Pharaoh ought to act in light of this prophecy. And it's a very practical suggestion, some ideas of what Pharaoh could do. But we see as we read down through the passage, Pharaoh's reaction to that, verse 38. Pharaoh says unto his servants, "Can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is?" Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "For as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art." We see that even Pharaoh recognized the spiritual wisdom in Joseph, the wisdom that came as a result of the Spirit of God at work. Is that something that you have considered, that the Spirit gives practical wisdom? Maybe sometimes we think of the wisdom as only coming in our thoughts about God, our decisions about church, reading the Bible. You know, God has wisdom that He imparts through the Spirit that's very practical, that has to do with your plans, has to do with your gifts, you know, your planting, your gardening, your parenting, you know, what you're going to do this week and how you're going to plan. God does give wisdom in those areas that comes from the Spirit. And that's what's happening here with Joseph. He is able through the Holy Spirit, through God, to give that spiritual wisdom, and God reveals that to him. Thank you. Appreciate that. I am getting a little dry. So we see spiritual humility, spiritual wisdom, and then the third quality that we see displayed here, and that's really the remainder of the chapter, verses 40 through 57. But what happens next? Pharaoh appoints Joseph as ruler, along with him, as prime minister, we might say. We see in verse 44, "Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh. Without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt." So Pharaoh's been appointed here to be second in command, to be prime minister. And that leads us to a description of what Joseph does in these roles, in this role of a prime minister. But the third quality that Joseph displays in the remainder of the chapter, I think, is spiritual leadership. Spiritual leadership. He starts out as a humble man before the Lord, enabled by the Spirit. He is given spiritual wisdom to give very practical advice to Pharaoh based on God's revealed word. And then we see Pharaoh appoints him to a position, and now Joseph is a leader all of a sudden. And how does he carry that out? How does he carry out that responsibility? And I want to point out several characteristics of this spiritual leadership. And the first one has to do with Joseph's life up to this point. What is the first characteristic of spiritual leadership that we see in Joseph's life? I think it is this, that spiritual leadership is prepared. Spiritual leadership is prepared. It had been several years since Joseph had been mistreated by his brothers. Verse 46 says that Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. It had been 13 years since the story of Joseph begins. He was 17 when his father gave him the coat of many colors. And think about that. 13 years, God was doing something in Joseph's life. God did not take a 17-year-old boy and make him automatically the prime minister of Egypt. He was preparing him to that point. Last time we looked at this passage, I mentioned the microwave principle. You know, we have microwaves here in this day and age in which we live. And why is that? Because they're so fast. You know, you can cook a lot of heat up your leftovers, push a button, 2 minutes, they're ready to eat. You know, it's really fast. But we see in the scripture that God doesn't use the microwave. He doesn't produce spiritual leaders in a microwave. He sends them through a process of preparation. We think about Moses, who went through 40 years taking care of sheep in the wilderness. And then when he's 80 years old, now he's ready to lead God's people out of Egypt. God prepared him. And God prepared Joseph as well. So spiritual leadership, we see, is prepared by God. And God leads Pharaoh to appoint Joseph at this time as a leader in Egypt. And then we see in verses 45 to 49 that Joseph gets to work. We see that Pharaoh gives Joseph a wife. And then verse 46, it says, Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. And in the seven plenteous years, the earth brought forth by handfuls, and he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities, the food of the field, which was round about every city, laid he up in the same. And Joseph gathered up the corn as the sand of the sea, very much, until he left numbering, for it was without number. And here I think we see a second characteristic of Joseph's spiritual leadership. Not only was he prepared, but the spiritual leadership he displays here is responsible. He's prepared and he's responsible. And that is, he sees his position as a responsibility. We read that as soon as he's appointed here, he goes out from the presence and he goes all throughout the land of Egypt. And then we read in verses 47 to 49 that he begins this task of gathering up the grain and putting it in store for these years of famine. I imagine Joseph, he's going through and he's holding meetings with the Egyptian farmers. And, you know, he's there in, you know, the local diner in Cairo or wherever, and he's holding a breakfast with the farmers. And he's coming in and saying, you know, here's what we got to do. We're looking at a famine coming up, and we have to figure out a way to do this. So how can we do that? He's traveling all throughout, perhaps making preparations for what he has to do. He's responsible. He's responsible. He gets to work. And I think there's a lesson here for us. God has given us various responsibilities in life, various leadership positions, various things which we are stewards of. And how do we approach those responsibilities? You know, it's easy to kind of get lazy. It's easy to sit back and just let things take care of themselves. But Joseph is one who's going about taking responsibility for his work. And that's a good thing. God has given him this. And there's ways in which we can use our time that is productive and fruitful. There's ways that we can squander our time. I was listening to a message by an older pastor this week, and he was talking about how much people watch TV and the amount of hours that people spend watching TV. And it was relatively recently anyway. And that's a way that if we're not careful, all of us can squander away time. And this was an older pastor, and usually you talk to young people about how they watch TV and play video games all the time. But this man was talking about how much senior citizens watch TV. And maybe that's a good thing to think about as well. What can we all be doing with our time that is productive and not squandering it in another way? So responsible leadership, responsible leadership. Next characteristic we see in verses 50 to 52. We read about the sons that God gives to Joseph. Verse 50, and unto Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, the priest of On, bare unto him. Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God, said he, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second he called Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Here we see another characteristic in what Joseph reveals in the naming of his two sons. The naming of his two sons, both of his sons, reflect something about his belief in God, about what God has done in his life. A reminder of what God has taught him. A reminder of how God has blessed him. And yes, we wonder about Joseph marrying this woman that he did, but we see that in Joseph's home, there was still a remembrance of God. Joseph had not forgotten God in his prosperity. And I think we see another characteristic of spiritual leadership, and maybe this is being repetitive, but I think we see that Joseph was a godly leader. He was a godly leader. He was prepared, yes, responsible, yes, but he was godly. He was a godly leader. We see that a godly leader needs God at all times, not just when he's in trouble. We saw Joseph in the prison and how he had conviction before the Lord about God shall give an answer, even when he's in prison. He's looking to God. And now Joseph is brought out of prison and he's got a promotion. And how does he respond to that? A godly leader needs God at all times, not just when he's in trouble. Imagine we have somebody in our church and they have a job need. Perhaps they've lost a job and a man is here in our church and he doesn't have a job. Finances are tight. And so he and his family are here in services. They come to prayer meeting. They're giving prayer requests. Lord, please help me with this job. And we're all praying for him. And a little time goes by and suddenly we hear that he's been hired. He's gotten a job, and it's a good job. And then a little more time goes by, and then we don't see the man as much. And he begins to stay away a little bit longer, and what's going on here? Where is Mr. So-and-so? Where is he? You know, what happens in our lives sometimes, we are very close to God when we're in trouble. And then when God answers our prayer, well, we don't need God anymore, you know. Yeah, I went to prayer meeting when I needed something, and then, well, God gave it to me, and, you know, forget that. But a godly leader needs God at all times, not just when he's in trouble. And we see Joseph. He needs God. He's depending on God in the prison. And then God bumps him up to the palace. Wow! But Joseph hasn't forgotten God. And even as we see, he names his sons. He remembers what God has done for him. We see that we need God just as much in prosperity as in affliction. We see a godly leader recognizes what God has done for him. We see that in the naming of his sons. his son named Manasseh, which has to do with God made me forget my toil and all my father's house. A godly leader recognizes what God has done for him. Joseph, as he thought about his past, he saw that God had helped him to get past all of the difficulty in his life. God made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. God had done that for him. And Joseph had a lot to get through. Joseph could have become a very bitter man. Joseph had to forget the mistreatment of his brothers, the hatred of his brothers, the years that he spent in slavery. In Potiphar's house, the slander of Potiphar's wife, the years he spent in prison. How was he able to forget that? The answer is, he believed God. He believed that God was in charge, and God was able to help him get past that. God was able to help him forget about that, to help him not cause that to become a source of bitterness in his life. But to help him to see that God was using even the negative, the sinful things in his life to bring him to where he was. godly leader recognizes what God has done for him. And then as we move on to the last verses of the chapter, we see Joseph at work, and we see that the prophecy came to pass, the 7 years of plenty came, and then the 7 years of famine came. And then verse 55, when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread, and Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, go unto Joseph, what he saith to you, do. And the famine was over all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened up all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians, and the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. And all the countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because that famine was so sore in all the lands. Here we see a final characteristic of Joseph's spiritual leadership, and that is, it was unselfish. It was unselfish. When it came time for Joseph to be the one who was in charge of giving out the food to his people, Joseph was the one to do it. He was the one to share what he had. And it wasn't just the resources that he had for Egypt. We see that all the countries came into Egypt to Joseph, verse 57, to buy food. And Joseph is the one who deals that out to them, to share the resources that he's been put in charge of, to share them with others. Proverbs 11:26 says, he that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. And there's a principle there again for the leaders of our country, for the politicians, for the people in charge of the resources that we have in our country. Those have been given to us to use, to share with the people of the country and beyond that even. Joseph was an unselfish leader. And that figures into what happens in the next part of the story in chapter 42. Guess who comes to Egypt wanting the food? His brothers. His brothers come. Joseph is one who's going to be put back in touch with his brothers. But there's a principle here for us as well. God has given to all of us a gift by the Holy Spirit. And God tells us very clearly what the purpose of that gift is. In 1 Peter 4:10, it says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. God has given to each of us a way in which we can serve others, a way in which we can be unselfish with the things that we have. And God wants us to do that. What makes Joseph a spiritual man? What makes you a spiritual man or a spiritual woman? Begins with your confidence in God. In all circumstances, Joseph is the same person in the prison and in the palace. Joseph is a man who has confidence in God. God shall give an answer, he says. And God imparts to him these spiritual qualities, humility, wisdom, and leadership. God is still with us in the same way, even more so. The Old Testament operating, the Spirit's operation was different, but even more so today, each of us are in possession of the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that gave Joseph these qualities. And as we have confidence in God, by His working in our lives, we can display these same qualities. Not because of who we are, but because of the God that we serve. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this passage. We pray that you would help us to put to practice these principles, these qualities that were displayed in Joseph's life. We recognize that these are not of us. These are of God. And we look to you tonight that you would enable us to be wise, to be filled with practical wisdom, and to display spiritual leadership and humility. Lord, we recognize these things are not our natural tendency. But we look to you, Father, and we pray that you would have your will in our lives. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Let's take our hymnals as we close.